not the defensive. Thirdly, we saw that the church is God's plan for evangelism, for discipleship. God has chosen to use the imperfect people within the church to share this word, to build people up in their faith. That's a very humbling. And fourthly, it's an earthly expression of a heavenly reality. What we have here, the fellowship we have with the Lord and with one another, is a small expression of what is in heaven. So the question now is, can a Christian live and survive his life apart from going to a church? That's the question. Can a Christian be a Christian but doesn't attend church? Some Christians have no choice. There may be some who simply cannot physically get to a church. They are bedridden, they are in hospital, it's just not possible. Some may find themselves, for whatever reasons, in remote areas where they have no church. These things happen, they exist, these situations, and God certainly is able and sufficient to care for their needs. And you can still, we would say, you still can go to heaven, you can be with the Lord, even if you can't go to church. So, these things are technically possible, but we have to understand, my friends, that it's certainly not the norm in the Scriptures. It's not the norm. We can't just look only at the extreme cases. This is not the norm. When one becomes a Christian, you are called into a relationship first and foremost with God. You are brought into a right relationship with your Creator God. But it doesn't just stop there. The second thing, the fellowship goes two ways. First with God, but the other part of our fellowship that we now have is with one another, brothers and sisters. We are brought into this fellowship together with other Christians. The New Testament never divides Christians into church members and non-church member Christians. This group of Christians were a part of a church. This group of Christians were not a part of any church. It never divides them like that. The assumption is always that when one is a Christian, when one is a believer, he is going to be a part of a local group of other believers. That assumption was always there in the New Testament. It's a part of who being a Christian is. It's a part of who we are. In the New Testament, every time we see, for example, the Apostle Paul, he traveled. He was a missionary, and he went from town to town, and he would preach the gospel. And a certain number would come to faith in Jesus Christ. They would trust the Lord. They would become Christians. And the first thing that he would do is organize them into a small group together so that they can continue to grow, sharpen each other, fellowship together, teach one another, and do the work of the Great Commission together. That was the first thing that this small group would begin to do. They would form a small local church. This was the norm, and this is still the norm today. And I mentioned this before, but anytime I hear someone say, oh, I'm a Christian, but I just don't attend church. I don't believe I need to attend church. That person doesn't understand the church, doesn't understand the fellowship that we're supposed to have, doesn't understand the historical making of the church from the very beginning in the New Testament. The church is important. In Acts 20, verse 7, it reveals the practice of the early church. It says, on the first day of the week. Now, my friends, what is the first day of the week? It is Sunday. It always has been. Now, I have a calendar on my phone and stuff, and it always starts, the first day of the week is on a Monday. And that's not the first day of the week. That is the first day of the working week. But the first day of the week is a Sunday. That begins then. So on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, what is the breaking of bread? Okay, now sometimes it can be referring to having a meal together. But when the New Testament Christians came to break bread, It was to remember the Lord. When we come and we have the table like we did, was it last week or the week before? Anyway, regularly, that is the breaking of bread. And we remember Jesus Christ and his death on the cross for us. And then it says, Paul preached to them. So on the first day of the week, they came together. They remember the Lord. And they heard from the Word of God. This was the common, regular practice of the early Christians, a regular part of life. And while we can list many reasons, we are to be committed to our local church, not the least of which is that it's commanded. We are commanded to not forsake assembling together. Jesus established it. Jesus himself loved it. Our Savior, the one that we pledge allegiance to as a follower of Christ, he loved the church. These things should be enough. But this morning, I want to list three more simple reasons that we need to be a part of a local body of believers, the church. Reasons I must be faithful to the church. Number one is this: for the good of other believers. You are needed. Your brothers and sisters need you as well. And so for one to say, yeah, I'm a Christian, but I don't need to attend church, you are taking your Christianity and making something selfish out of it. You are thinking of yourself. You're not thinking of what the needs of others may be. Philippians 2:4. Can we have this? Okay, read this with me out loud. Philippians 2:4. Let each of you, but also for the interests of others. This is a command of believers. This is a command for believers. That we're to not look out for our own interest only, but for the interest of others. Because our fellowship is with God. Our fellowship is with one another. This is an often overlooked reason for attending and for joining a church. Is looking out for the interest of others. What most people look for in a church is, I want to know what it's going to give me. Does it have interesting things for me? Does it have enough programs that I'm interested in? Now, don't misunderstand me. The church, you know, when you look for a church, when you want to join a church, anybody, a Christian, they ought to be sure that that church is holding on to and protects and teaches correct and right doctrine. Doctrine is important. Doctrine is an important word. The doctrines of a church are simply the teachings, and the doctrine must come from God's Word. Is the church teaching what the Bible teaches? If it's just teaching popular psychology or teachings of man, then it's not good, and we need to be careful of that and stay away from that. But the doctrines of a church are important. What do they stand for? So that they and a Christian needs to understand this, so that they and their family will be fed and will grow spiritually. So that's not being selfish. That is being careful and cautious in finding a church that teaches what the Word of God teaches. But our belonging to a particular church establishes a home and a base where we can regularly and reliably care for others. And that's what being in fellowship with one another is about. By joining with a church, you are actually making a covenant with others in this church. You are covenanting together with brothers and sisters and saying you are committed, you are apart, and through doing so, you are going to serve them, serve each other faithfully. Some say that they love their brothers and sisters and they don't need to covenant this together with them. And I would urge you and suggest to you that the attitude should be, I love my brothers and sisters. I love these people enough to covenant with them and say, I am committed. This is my church home, my church base and family, and I am covenanting together with you to care for you and to be there for you and to encourage you. Christian community is more than just loose associations, but committing to each other. Take a look at 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7 next. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. All right, now we're talking about our spiritual gifts, the giftings that we have. Each believer has spiritual gifts. What are they given for? For the profit of me? No. Again, we're not to look at ourselves in this. The giving of the Spirit, the giftings of the Spirit is for the profit of all. It's for your fellowship, for serving one another and encouraging one another. The rest of this chapter describes the church as a body. I'm not going to go into great detail of this chapter. Most of you know it. But it describes the body and how the church is like a body, and we need all parts of the body to function well and properly. If a part of the body is not there, the whole body suffers. If a part of the body is not working and doing its job well, the whole body is going to hurt for it. There can be no schisms or divisions in the body. It says a foot can't say, since I'm not a hand, the body doesn't need me. That would be ludicrous, wouldn't it? That's silly. The ear can't say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not part of the body. The eyes cannot say, because I am not the hand, I don't need you. And the head can't say to the foot, I don't need you. And so it goes on giving this analogy of the body. And all these things sound funny to us because we know that we need our whole body. If we're missing a part of our body, we can survive, but we notice it, and it's difficult, and it hurts. So we need the body to function together. So my friends, what is your spiritual gifting? The body needs your gifting. It needs you. Some of you are super encouragers. Don't keep silent about it. Encourage the body. Encourage others. Some of you have a great gift of mercy, and you can tell when someone is struggling and going through a hard time. You're right there, and you're attuned to it. Use your gift of mercy. Don't think you just need to mind your own business, but if you see that, go to someone who is hurting and put your arm around them and pray for them. Encourage them in the Lord. Some of you may have the gifting of evangelism. You can talk to anybody about the Lord, and it comes very naturally because God has gifted you in such a way. Don't be silent. Share the Lord any chance that you get as often as you can. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We need each other. The body needs you. It needs you to be present to stir up others. Have you heard of the expression stir up? How is it normally used? How? Okay, usually it's referring to trouble, isn't it? If someone calls you a stirrer, it's not a compliment. Okay, you thought you were doing good? Normally it's used to mean, what are you stirring trouble for? Why are you causing problems? You're always trying to argue. You're trying to get people angry, upset. That's what stirring is. But the Bible tells us that we're to come together to stir up unto love and good works. We're to spur each other, motivate each other to serve the Lord and to do what He wants us to do. That's why we come together. And the body needs you to be a part of that, to stir up others. And when you see a brother or sister struggling or not doing right, you stir them up. Come on, you know, you know what the Lord said about this. You know what's right. You know what you ought to be doing. And you stir up unto love and good works. And the Bible apparently indicates, even at this time, this was written not too long after the church began, but many hundreds of years ago. Even at this time, some were stopping their meeting together regularly. It says in the scripture here, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. Okay, even at this time, some have said, you know, hey, we can be a Christian and we don't need to meet together. But the writer says, don't do that. We need each other. This is the way the Lord made it. This is the way He established it. We need each other. For the good of others, don't stop. The second thing, though, why we need to be committed is for your own good. On the other side, for your own good, you have others committed to caring for you in Christ. You need to be committed to a local church for your own good as well. A couple aspects to consider in this regard for your own good. Number one is the care of leadership, or the care by leadership. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1, the elders who are among you I exhort, and this elders is referring to the head, the leaders over particular churches. We just refer to them as pastors today. The elders who are among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly. And so the admonition by the Apostle Peter here is, elders, shepherd the flock that is among you, serving as overseers, watching out for them, not by compulsion, not because you must, but willingly, because God has called upon you to serve in this way. And so this is the oversight of the elders of leadership in the church. This is their calling. And this is not something that pastors should take lightly. In Acts 20, verse 28, the scripture says, therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. Again, the scripture tells us as overseers to the importance of shepherding the flock of God. But listen, we don't seek to, we can't shepherd visitors who come in the door. We welcome them, and anybody is always welcome to this church. And may it always be that way. And my friends, you in the flock, your goal is to welcome others to come in as well. And may this be a welcoming and warm place for visitors to come. But we're not here, we can't shepherd them. They're not part of the flock. We can evangelize them and win them over. But it's difficult, if not possible, to shepherd a church if you don't know who the flock is and who the flock is not. Conversely, it's also difficult to obey the word when the word says that we are to respect and esteem your leaders, like in 1 Thessalonians 5, to honor those who are shepherding over you, like in 1 Timothy 5, and to obey and submit to them without identifying yourself as part of the flock. And that's why here at IBC, for example, we have a membership class and we say, you know, if God has called you and wants you to be a part of this church family, we urge you to be a part of this membership class. Okay, the membership class doesn't make you a Christian. What it does is share with you what it is that we believe about the gospel, about baptism, about the doctrines of our faith, and you affirm, yes, I, first of all, I'm a believer. I have been baptized scripturally. I agree with the doctrines of this church, and I commit myself to being a part of this flock. And so as shepherds of the flock, we identify and know this person is part of that flock. They have identified themselves. They're a part of the flock that the Lord has told us that we must care for. So we see that one aspect, the care of leadership. The second aspect is guarding your doctrine. Being accepted into membership in a Bible-believing church rightly gives affirmation and reinforces confidence that your faith is true. And it's not just your own private self-made religion, your own private patchwork religion of things that you've come up with through all of your self-study. I've talked with people in recent times that profess that they are Christians. They said, yes, we're Christians. We went to church and I've trusted the Lord. I was even baptized. And when pressed where they attend church currently, they finally admit that they do not, and that they have not yet found a church that agrees with all of their views and doctrine on the Bible. And when I hear this, it raises a caution flag. What's going on in their mind when they refuse to attend and submit to any church because they cannot find a church that agrees with their doctrines that they have developed in their mind? My friend, our doctrine comes from the Word of God. It was the faith once delivered. Jude 1 verse 3, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once delivered to the saints." It's this faith that we must hold to. We must preach. We must defend. Jude wrote that we contend earnestly for this faith once delivered. It's not a new doctrine. It's not a new teaching. It's not a secret private faith that you just kind of build yourself and discover and no one else has. God has given us His Word. And as we read last week, in His establishing the church, He gave the church the keys to the kingdom of heaven. He gave the church the gospel and the responsibility to propagate the gospel. James 5, verse 19, "Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he has turns a sinner from the error of his way and will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins." We help one another. And through our commitment to each other, we also guard our doctrine. We need to guard our doctrine, that we continue to teach and proclaim what the Word of God does. And when someone's doctrine is off, we can say, "Hey, what's going on here? Where have you strayed?" We covenant together to support and help each other. When one is struggling and wandering from the truth, another comes to him and says, "What's going on?" and urge him to come back to the truth of the gospel. So we must be committed to the church for the good of believers, or for the good of unbelievers. For your own good, and then thirdly, for the good of unbelievers. The good of unbelievers. And this is the last one. John 13, verse 35. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. We show the love of Christ better as a community of believers than we do just on our own. Jesus says, this is how people are going to know you're the real deal. You're disciples of Jesus Christ. Not by how spiritual you act when you're alone, but by the love that you have for other brothers and sisters. And this is something that we must do together as a community. You can't say, I love my community of brothers and sisters when you are never around them and you don't seek to be around them. The one who says they're a Christian but wants nothing to do with others because they have faults or they find them sometimes hypocritical or whatever does not display this kind of love, this kind of what we call agape love, God-like love, who loves despite the shortcomings, who loves despite the imperfections. And this is the kind of love that Jesus says is what people are going to see and know that you're my disciples. A Lone Ranger Christian doesn't make the best witness for Christ. One who is on their own, who really wants nothing to do with anybody else, they don't make the best witness for Christ. When a non-believer comes into our midst, our desire is that they come in here and they see other genuine believers worshiping God from their hearts, and they back it up with their love that is shown for one another. And when an unbeliever comes in and observes this, our desire and our prayer is that they leave here saying, God was truly there. There was something in that place. God was there. Now take a look at 1 Corinthians 12, verse 23, in regards to unbelievers that come. This is speaking to that effect in the church. We're not going to read the entire chapter, just a couple of verses, try to give it a bit of context. It says in verse 23, therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say that you are out of your mind? What's another way of saying out of your mind? You're crazy. This place is crazy. Verse 24, but if all prophesy and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all. He is convicted by all. And thus the secrets of his heart are revealed. And so, falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. This is our desire. So, Paul is writing to the church, the Corinthian church, and they had some issues, lots of issues, and Paul had to correct their issues. This was one of them, that church had become just focused on personally what they felt and what they got out of it. They didn't focus on others, and that was shown in chapter 11 at the Lord's Supper when they all would pig out and leave others to be hungry who didn't have any food at the Lord's Supper. And so they didn't care about others. They didn't care too much about unbelievers and what they might have thought coming into their congregation and using this gift of tongues that they had. And others would come in and think, you guys are out of your mind. And so he says, but if all prophesy... This word prophecy is often misunderstood, and you know, it's not people just telling, oh, tomorrow this is going to happen to you. But the word prophesy means to proclaim the word of God, God's word, God's revealed word. And he says here, if people share the word of God with others, and each person is into this, each person is assisting and helping others to better know the Word of God, then that person may come under the conviction of the Spirit because of that Word. and they come to the Lord, fall down on their face, worship God, and report God is truly among you. And this ought to be our desire as a church. And we do this best together. We do this best as a body of Christ together. I encourage you, break out of your comfort a little bit and reach out a loving hand, an encouraging hand to someone who may be new to this place. Most weeks we have someone who is coming who is rather new, if not a first timer, and they come to this place. And I encourage you to take your part in the body. Break away a little bit from your comfort. Reach out to them. Share Christ with them. Share what He's done with you. Young people, I am encouraged to see what is going on with some of our young people. But I want to encourage all the young people in this church that there may be other youth that are coming that are not connected. They're not a part. And I urge you to urge them. Urge them to be a part. Reach a hand out to them. Don't get too self-involved with your small group to the exclusion of everyone else. But think outside of that. Welcome others in with open arms. Three simple reasons to be committed to your local assembly. For the good of others, the body needs you. For your own good, and for the good of unbelievers. Jesus established the church. That's His plan. Be committed to it. Would you please stand with me, with your head bowed and eyes closed, if you would. I just want to take a few moments in response to the message, to just pray, to commit yourself, recommit yourself afresh to the Lord, and to commit yourself afresh to His church. In particular, this local body of believers that are around you, your brothers and sisters right here. We're not perfect, but we are His. We belong to Him. And He's called us together. He began this church, 32 years ago. And it's gone through many changes and many trials. But He brought us together. And we must be faithful to one another. We must be faithful to His church. Well, give us just a few moments to pray. And again, like I said, I encourage you to commit yourself to the Lord and to His church. And say, Lord, I want to be committed to this church for the good of other believers, my brothers and sisters. Use me to minister to them. Lord, I want to be faithful to my church for my own good. I'm not trying to build my own faith, my own religion, my way. But Lord, through the body of my other brothers and sisters, and with the leadership that You have given to a church, and as God directs and calls elders and pastors to shepherd the church, I want to submit to that. And Lord, I want to be committed to Your church because of unbelievers. By this will men know You're my disciples, by Your love You have one for another. Help me to show, to display that kind of love. May others see that in me. And may people come to this place. May they hear what God has done. May they see the love of Christ working in the people, and may they come to God themselves. May they come themselves, come to faith. Thank you, Father, for your word to us this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your church that you've established. Lord, even this particular church that you began 32 years ago, Lord, I just thank you for your using it for these years in such a way. May we continue to be faithful. May we not stop. May we continue to reach out to people around us, to welcome them, to invite them, to share Christ with them. May we be faithful to the Great Commission, to make disciples of all nations. Lord, we will not be finished until you call us to go home to be with you. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please take a seat if you would for a few announcements with Pastor Mike. Thank you.
Thank you for the message this morning. If you have your bulletins, let's look on the inside pages. Just a few things I would like to share and remind you about that's coming up here in the near future, and just a few announcements of some of the events that's happening as well. Under the announcements and notices, you'll notice we have the Christmas choir practice. That's every Sunday now. It's going to be at 1:15. So if you're a part of the Christmas choir and the practice today, 1:15, see Jackie Wee. She's not here this morning, but she'll be in the second service coming up. So just see one of the pastors if you're a part of that, if you have any questions. Also, the Overcomers Support Group, we continue on tonight at 5 o'clock. So if you've been a part of that at any time, or if you would like to be a part of that, perhaps you're going through a difficulty or something that you would just need a bit of encouragement, come along tonight at 5 o'clock for the Overcomers. Prayer journals, something that we've had here before. Miss Jennifer has these prayer journals. They were $25 each. And so if you'd like to have one of the prayer journals, see her, and she'll make sure that she can get that to you at a cost, $25 for the prayer journals. The Kids Club, parents, there's an announcement in here. There's an announcement in here about your children, if you'd like them to be a part of the Christmas Eve production that will be here on the Christmas Eve night. There's a sign-up sheet in the back, so if you haven't signed that sheet, be sure and do that. That helps them know the numbers and things. Would you like to say anything, Jennifer, about that? Okay. That'll let our leaders in the back know how to do the planning and everything coming up for the Kids Club program. Also, the couples retreat, we've been announcing this for a few weeks. This is probably our last announcement, maybe one more time next week. If you haven't signed up for the couples retreat, the marriage retreat, but you'd like to be a part of it, we have a sign-up sheet in the back. The cost is $170 per couple, and that needs a $50 confirmation requirement on that. And this will probably be one of the last weeks that we are able to put those rooms out there. Remember, we have 15 rooms available, and as we get closer to the time, if those rooms don't fill up, we have to release those rooms. Otherwise, we get charged for them. So if you're planning to sign up, we're going to be going through a program called Building Your Marriage to Last. And some of the topics that are in here, I'll just read these real quickly. Some of the topics that we're going to be covering would be things such as this: preventing isolation in your marriage, developing oneness in your marriage, fitting your life together, building in the spirit of your marriage. These are the topics that we'll be covering, and you'll receive one of these books as well. There'll be a bit of projects and things that you do as a husband and a wife. So if you'd like to be a part of it, go ahead and sign that up today. If later on you don't sign up, but later on you change your mind, let us know, and we'll check, and if those rooms are still available, then we can maybe make some arrangements there as well. So I think that's all of the announcements for the morning, other than to continue to pray for our missionaries that we support. Our missionary Joseph Garagapati, his prayer letter is in the back. We're praying for him this week. So as often as the Lord lays him on your heart, please pray for our brother Garagapati in India. I think that's all of the announcements that we need to share this morning. But before we're dismissed, we'll take a time to celebrate birthdays and anniversaries. Anyone celebrating a birthday this week? Anyone this week? She looks surprised. Come on up. Come on up, Jean. Miss Horn, Pastor Ken, our brother here, anyone else celebrating a birthday?
Happy birthday tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow.
Anyone else with birthday this week?
24th.
And how about wedding
the 24th too?
Is there anyone celebrating?
Come on over here with me and Pat. We share the same birthday.
Anyone celebrating wedding anniversary?
Tomorrow.
Yeah,
tomorrow.
Yeah. No wedding anniversaries? No other birthdays, or maybe there is, or there's a lot of people. All right, let's all stand. We're going to sing Happy Birthday, and then we'll be dismissed.
Happy birthday. Happy
birthday.
Oh,
Gene! You can work out a deal later on. You can trade these out. God bless you this morning. Happy birthday to you.
All right.
Patrick, which one do you want there? Happy birthday.
All right. And for those of you who don't know, me and Pat and Mrs. Horn share the same birthday, the 24th tomorrow. So that's pretty cool. And Casey Wong also shares the same birthday tomorrow with us. So he's not here, but the 24th is a popular day, isn't it? It's a special day. So happy birthday, everybody. And Gene, too, 26. Close. All right, let's be dismissed in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your word to us today. Lord, as we leave this place, may we leave here with a fresh and new commitment to our church, to one another as brothers and sisters, and may others, Lord, see the love that we have for one another. And may they give God the glory for it. Build your church, I pray, and draw people to Jesus Christ here. Use us in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy some fellowship before you leave.